the current book, Spiritual Practice for Crazy Time, as the title suggests, it brings in spiritual practices from all traditions to help us cope with the craziness of life these days. I live in Los Angeles. I grew up in Brooklyn and once lived in Philadelphia.
Is it Spiritual Matters? Is that what the podcast is called?
Spirit Matters.
Spirit Matters. You timed this book rather well. When did you actually start putting it together?
I've been writing for more than 40 years professionally, and I've never been this timely. I wish I could say I planned it that way, but times were crazy enough 15 or 18 months ago when I first conceived the book and started writing it and completed it in the fall of 2019. And my publisher slated it for this time, thinking times were crazy when I wrote it. They'll be crazy in the months leading up to the presidential election. But then the pandemic hit and the streets erupted, and we had no idea, of course, or no one could have predicted this, but suddenly the book is even more timely than anybody could possibly have anticipated.
And of course, in times of extreme trouble, that's when we need spiritual practice more than ever.
People come to it also when times are good. It's a very interesting thing. Sometimes when people fulfill their dreams and their lives are good, they have this moment of saying, but there's more. There must be more. I'm not as happy as I thought I would be. I'm not as fulfilled. But it's also when times are difficult that we look for refuge. We look for sanctuary. We look for self-protection. And to me, that's what spiritual practices offer. Much of my life has been devoted to the understanding that practices that stem from the ancient traditions that we call spiritual have come in the modern world to be understood as universal methods of self-improvement and self-nourishment that don't have to be understood in a spiritual, much less a religious context. There's a tremendous amount of scientific research on methods like meditation and yoga and certain breathing practices and prayer. All these things have measurable physiological and mental health benefits. So regardless of a person's belief system, these practices are pragmatic methods to employ in our lives.
I'm curious about your personal use of the news, social media, keeping up with the world. How do you handle being informed or letting some of the outside world in? I'm curious.
I try to manage it. But the preface to Spiritual Practice for Crazy Times begins with an anecdote. I won't go into the whole anecdote, but it was prompted by a cartoon in The New Yorker where someone says, my desire to be well-informed is in conflict with my desire to remain sane. And that's how I feel much of the time these days. I want to be well-informed. I want to be a responsible citizen. I want to have a voice. So I need to be well-informed. I need to know what's going on. At the same time, I don't want to be overwhelmed. I don't want to have so much input, especially bad news or disturbing news, that my equilibrium is thrown or that it's just too much. I find myself sometimes watching news and saying, but I already heard that. I already know this. So I think it's something we all struggle with. And that's part of why I wrote the book, this bombardment of information and news and having to be informed and having to be online and can be overwhelming. It's certainly not the source of satisfaction or fulfillment or happiness in life. It is necessary for most of us, but we have to be discerning. We have to know when to shut off the TV and when to put our gadgets on airplane mode and when to be in life with our senses and our soul and our bodies and nourish ourselves. And that's one of the reasons I advocate in the book creating a regular spiritual practice that takes you deep within to what I call the sanctuary of peace and fortress of strength that we all have within us. That's the real purpose of spiritual practice for crazy times, is to put people in touch, to give them methods to get in touch with their own inner peace. And if you do this on a daily basis, it sustains itself. It leaks into your life in the active workaday world, so that you have access to inner peace even in the midst of it. It's something that can be cultivated. And then I also advocate having a repertoire or an inventory of methods that you can use at times when you do feel overwhelmed or when you're thrown off balance to restore the equanimity.
You have a lot of good lines, too, in your book. I liked an overly agitated mind is prone to mistakes. Yeah, no kidding.
It is, yes, and we all have experienced this. Over-agitated mind, we don't think clearly, we act impulsively, we do things we later regret, we say things we wish we hadn't. And so that's why, you know, I have a lot of methods in the book for restoring some stability in these moments when we're triggered, so we come back to more clarity of mind and more inner peace to be able to respond appropriately. One of the important features of the book is these spiritual practices are not only a form of self-protection and refuge, but they're also, as a result, a platform for engaging the world more successfully, more efficiently.
That was fascinating to me, because often we feel so small, just a little speck in the whirling, swirling universe, and how could we make a difference?
Yeah, most of the book is techniques and methods to use at various times. But in the last chapter, I felt, since one of the themes of the book is what I just said, that these spiritual methods are not intended as an escape so much as a temporary refuge to restore the best of you to come out and act dynamically and effectively in the world. And I hope that people use that platform to make the world a little more sane. We all have a contribution to make. And if we don't realize that now, in this time of pandemic, when just breathing on somebody can have a huge effect on the world, when we realize how interdependent we are, you're right that, you know, most of us can only make a small impact. We're not, unless we're running for office, unless we're running a political campaign, unless we're a wealthy philanthropist, unless we are a full-time activist for some cause or another, our influence is limited, but we should never underestimate the impact of being a good neighbor, being a good member of your local community, being nice to people, being helpful to people, in whatever way we can, doing some act of service, even infrequently, especially at times like we're living in now. People need us. There are vulnerable people. Anything we can do to help, you know, you do something nice for somebody, you smile at somebody, you pass, they're more likely to be in a better mood when they get home or when they go to the store. And that spreads. It sounds perhaps like a cliche, but it's real. We have an impact, and we may as well make that impact one that improves the world by a measure of kindness, a measure of compassion, a measure of love.
So much better, I think, than we all get upset, and that can lead to hatred and overreaction. Whereas, as you mentioned in your book, love is really the way, and we'll feel better also if we follow that way than if we get all caught up in the opposite, hateful emotion.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I consider spiritual life to be a very practical addition, just as, you know, maintenance of the body by exercise and brushing your teeth and proper nutrition, spiritual practice to me is forms that take you deep within, like meditation, are in that practical category of self-maintenance. And they also increase your capacity for behaving in a loving, kind, compassionate manner. It's one thing to exhort people to love one another, as preachers and rabbis and ministers always do. But when you're roiling inside and you're agitated and you're upset, trying to be loving is good, but it's a half measure. Whereas if you cultivate inner peace and tap into the source of love and compassion within you, then your capacity for it comes out, and it's more natural, and it's more authentic. And so that's why I talk about a spiritual two-step, going within, deep within, you know, to the source of all that is goodness within us and peace within us, and then coming out and being a better person in the world.
I just love the book. And you know what? This is a crazy thing to mention, but it's the right size. It's perfect. You can put it in your bag. You can.
It's a little too big for my pants pocket. It fits into a jacket pocket. It fits into a purse or a backpack or a shoulder bag very nicely. I was surprised, actually, that the publisher chose to go with the small format. But it suits the purpose of the book. And it's, you know, it's only a 200-page book.
Yes.
I kept it brief and, you know, packed with good information.
Thank you for writing the book, and thank you for making yourself available so early to do the interview. I really appreciate it.